listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 140. Kill the Lord's here with the one, the only, the dude with a tongue that does a weird thing, John Brownstone. This week, we're talking about...
You like that weird thing my tongue does.
Yes, but not on camera. This week, we're talking about big age differences in DS relationships. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. And those reviews really do work, and people really do find us that way, and you can review a lot more than you think you can, so please, please, please leave reviews.
Please and thank you.
Please and thank you. We love you. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, on Instagram at LovingDS and the number one, LovingDS1. I hate that fucking handle. Or on YouTube at YouTube.com/LovingBDSM. All links are in the show notes, and you can actually watch the show now on YouTube. So yes. The audio podcast comes out on Fridays, and the video comes out on Mondays.
Monday. Mm-hmm. Okay. The following Monday.
Right. This week's episode is sponsored by Delirium Toys. Mm. Hello. Shout out to Delirium Toys. Thank you so much. At Delirium Toys, you find a great selection of fetish, sure sex toys. And the classics, like vibrators and cock rings and prostate massagers. And for some of y'all, that will not sound like a classic thing, but in my world of sex toys, it's totally a classic thing. So whether you want to get kinky or you just want to get off, Delirium Toys is a place to shop. Go from a vibrator to nipple clamps, a latex outfit, saw that on the front page of their fetish section, to a cock ring, whatever suits you.
Yeah, wow.
And their fetish section is better than other online sex toy retailers that I've seen in the past. Most of them, unless, you know, I think most of us who shop at sex toy shops know that if you go to a fetish shop, you get a certain type of thing. If you go to an online sex toy retailer, you get another thing. Mm-hmm. Delirium Toys is doing a pretty good job at combining the two, because their fetish section was pretty, was really good.
That's something most places don't get right.
Right, exactly. I mean, when I saw the first thing I saw was a full latex bodysuit, like head to toe. I was like, what? You don't see this on other sites. No. So that was pretty cool. So the cool thing is, because they're our sponsor, for the whole month of August, if you decide to shop at deliriumtoys.com, if you use our special code, you save 30%.
Nice.
Love BDSM 2018. That's the code. Love BDSM 2018, all one word. The code and the link are in the show notes. Don't worry there. It's deliriumtoys.com. Code LOVEBDSM2018. And whether it's a vibrator or something kinky, or hell, vibrators can be quite kinky. Thank you very much. Go there and shop. Save some money. Add kinky fuckery to your life.
Cool.
That's what I got to say about that. Okay. And speaking of adding kinky fuckery to your lives, we've got a shit ton of announcements. I'm not going to pretend we're not rambling. We got a lot to talk about.
Yes, we do.
So I'm going to do one thing that is not in my notes because we found it out just before we started recording.
Yeah.
Loving BDSM, the podcast, is on freaking Spotify. So that is less exciting for some people than it used to be, because it used to be that almost no podcasts were on Spotify, and then they let big podcasts be on Spotify.
Yes.
And then they started opening it up, but they said that they were like picking who could be on Spotify. Like if you applying to be on was no guarantee they would let you.
You would be on, right.
And so I did it twice. I did it through an old form they had that I thought nobody was really paying attention to, but it's what I found through Google. And then I did the other through our podcast hosting company, and they didn't notify us. I thought they might. They didn't. Right. We got an email
somebody
from a listener who found us on Spotify. And then I was like, wait, what? I forgot to answer his question.
We're both sitting at our computer just, you know.
Yes. We're on Spotify. So if you like to use Spotify for other listening things, you can now listen to the episodes on Spotify. Now, I did notice, and I don't know why. There must be some criteria. Maybe they pulled them. We of our 140 plus episodes that we've uploaded over 3 years, only 127 are on Spotify.
Oh goodness!
I don't know why, and you know what? Frankly, I don't care. There's some reason. I'll figure it out later. I'm not worried about it. But we are on Spotify. Okay, so that's the first unplanned announcement.
Yes.
But now into the planned announcements.
Okay.
We turned 3 this month.
Yes.
This is August 2018 as we're recording. We turned 3. The podcast is a toddler. That seems right. Wait, in dog years, we're 21 and we're legal. I'm going to go with dog
years. Let's go with that.
Yes,
yeah.
In dog years, we're 21.
I like that much better.
That sounds way better. way, way better. So to celebrate, we've got a giveaway going on.
Yes.
I think it's a massive giveaway. I think it might become a more massive giveaway because if other people want to donate prizes to the giveaway, I will let them.
Right.
But we do a giveaway every year when we celebrate our birthday because we get older and you win. You get the presents. That's how we look at it. So this year, the giveaway is a spreader bar and a pair of nipple clamps and some other like little goodies, all from Kink Crate.
Correct.
They gave them to us. We're like, here, you like to give free stuff away and we will give you free stuff. And I said, thank you. And then the thing that I think is pretty freaking awesome is that y'all noticed the past couple years we've done these, Joe Brownstone has always given away a paddle.
Yeah.
And for a long time, you had like one or two types of paddles anyway.
Correct.
But it was a paddle. This year, it is your choice of either a paddle or a cane. So even if you've purchased a cane in the past, and a lot of people have, you can't always buy all of them. So you're not stuck with two of the same thing. You can get something different.
Or if you've gotten a paddle and you want a cane.
Now you want a cane. And so there's six to choose from. Four different paddles,
two types of canes.
Right, for now. And in August, I think you're keeping it that way. You're not adding anything new.
No.
So enter the giveaway. The link is in the show notes. We'll be tweeting about it. We'll try to remember to pop it up on Instagram and FetLife and those places. If you are watching on YouTube, the show notes are in the description below. So go there and you'll get it. But there are multiple ways to enter. There are ways you can enter every single day to get more entries. The giveaway runs the entire month of the giveaway runs the entire month of August. And we will draw a winner sometime in the first part of September. And we are opening this up to the US, Canada, and the UK. Everywhere else, shipping was just a little too high. UK shipping isn't cheap, but we know how to get it there and not spend like and not have to sell firstborn.
We've kind of been tinkering with things.
Yeah, we're better
aspect.
At shipping than we used to
be.
So it's open all those places. So please do go enter. We will talk about it every week. Don't worry. The second planned announcement, but the third announcement, is that we got a sale going on too.
Yes.
So we're trying to give you some kinky fuckery, and we're also hoping you'll buy some kinky fuckery and vanilla stuff.
True.
So
a little of both, whatever floats your boat.
Exactly. We've been talking about this for ages. I was revamping the site where you could buy the paddles and canes and My Erotica and all the other things that we do.
Right.
And that is done. And so we're having kind of a grand reopening sale.
Correct.
And you redid your shop. So you're not necessarily on Etsy. You're at your own place.
I'm at my own place and kind of same thing. I think I mentioned it.
Oh, yeah.
Podcast that... I'm trying to move away from Etsy because of certain things that have been going on there. Not very crafter friendly anymore.
Right. So.
And I redesigned my site and having a grand opening for that.
Exactly. And so we kept it simple. It's the same coupon code works on both sites.
Correct.
The sites are linked in the show notes, but they're actually, the URLs aren't too terribly hard. Thewooddom.com.
Correct.
And shop.kaylalords.com. But the coupon code is all one word, new shop, newshop, and you'll save 10% off the whole purchase. You can only use one coupon, so you know, one store. So if you find anything else anywhere else, it's just that one coupon, 10% off.
Right.
His shop, thewooddom.com, our shop, shop.kaylalords.com, which we finally have an official name for it.
Yeah.
It's the Kinky Fuckery Shop.
Uh-huh.
Because of course it is. How could it not be?
How could it not be?
So, all month long in August, 10% off with the coupon code NEWSHOP. Yeah. Also, go to Delirium Toys, save 30% there, and buy like a vibrator or a cock ring or whatever fits for what you like to do. And kink up the month of August is what I'm saying.
Hey, it's too hot to be, it's summertime. It's too hot to be outside, so you may as well enjoy some indoor games.
And create more humidity in your house? No, that's not a selling point to me. This Florida girl's like, actually, no.
Crank down the AC.
Right? No. But yeah, so that's a lot. Just a reminder, we are on Patreon. You can join for as low as $1 per month. You help support the show. You help support us going to Eroticon in 2019. Sales from both thewooddom.com and the Kinky Fuckery Shop. Proceeds, the profits from that, minus expenses and supplies and stuff.
Sure.
That helps sends us to Eroticon. I cannot speak today.
You know what? I find it funny when you have trouble speaking like that. I don't know why.
Oh, because I'm supposed to be the words girl.
Yes, you are.
And I'm supposed to be able to just sort of speak off the cuff, extemporaneously. It's just supposed to roll out of you, saying the right, and it's
like
not
water
happening today.
Coming over a waterfall.
And I know why. I had a really cool business call right before we started recording it that I got exciting, and then we found out we were on Spotify, and that's exciting. Mm-hmm. And then we found, or I found, a keto diet friendly. Soda that I'm currently drinking because I've already had 2 cups of coffee today and nobody wants me to have any more.
I was almost going to say, blaspheme, you're not drinking coffee.
I know. No, I had 2 giant cups of iced coffee this morning with, I probably won't sleep for a while.
I'm sticking true to my true love.
I know, and in your Starbucks cup.
In my Starbucks cup, yeah.
So there's a lot freaking going on, and if all of that was like garbled to you, I'm sorry, and also I know, but all of the links are in the show notes. Buy a gift for somebody in your vanilla life, buy a gift for your partner, buy a gift for yourself. It all goes to good things.
Yeah, it does.
So, okay, that is all of that. Now we can actually get into the show.
Okay.
So this... It's funny, this idea was our idea, but had Twitter not spoken up, we probably would have just let
it was
slip
one
away.
Of those things that was kind of in the list of things, but it just never really
No? We said like, oh gosh, somebody out there, a cricket, I'm sure, knows exactly which episode we said this in. But you and I were talking about our relationship, and I said, and we've said it many times, we've never hidden we have a big age difference. So there's 18 years between us, and there's age differences, and oh, that could be an episode all on its own.
Yeah.
And within like 3 days, Twitter went, yes, that needs to be an episode all
I saw that you mentioned in your notes about it being a thing on Tumblr.
Oh, and yes, and that's thanks to Dom Science, who tweeted out a Tumblr thing.
And I did see that come across my dash, and I don't know. It was kind of interesting. I don't totally disagree with the answer, but I kind of do.
Well, we have to tell people what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Dom Science was on Tumblr doing his Tumblr thing, and he came across somebody who had asked somebody else a question, and the basic part of the question, and I think I retweeted it under the Loving BDSM account, so if you want to go see it, it's there. But the basic question, the person said, oh, well, I'm seeing a person, my friend with benefit, I'm seeing them, they are literally twice my age, I think I want more with them.
Right.
How do I go about asking that question? Well, the answer they were given assumed a lot of stuff. They said, first, that person, who I don't know and I'm not naming and it's none of that, but that person said, oh, that big of an age difference, there's a power imbalance there anyway, so that's not going to end well. And why are you going to go chasing after somebody who obviously doesn't want you? How was that even obvious? That wasn't obvious. The question was, we're friends with benefits and I want more. How do I bring that up? So the whole thing was problematic, but what was funny is that's what struck me. And I know that's a common thing. When people hear about big age differences, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, I know people who have bigger age differences than that. There's, for some people, there's this yuck factor because they're thinking parent child. And if you don't have any experience with it, I'll give you the first yuck you have, okay? But Google is a thing. The internet is a thing. If you have that reaction when you hear somebody of that age difference, why are you listening to this show? Because there is an 18-year age difference. The thing we are imagining, and it does happen, is the 18-year-old kid, and I get to say kid because I'm 20 years past 18, okay, who is dating a 50-something-year-old guy. Now, there might be something that gives me pause in that, but here's my fundamental thing about it. I think this sums up the entire episode. You can stop listening now. If you are both of consenting legal age and you both consent to this relationship, whatever it is, it's none of my fucking business what's going on. I might see things that are problematic. I might have questions about why is that attractive to either of you? And I might even be able to make suppositions based on stereotypes and tropes about what the hell's going on. But ultimately, I'm not in that relationship. And if they are both happy and getting whatever it is they want from one another in a consenting, legal manner, go for it. Because if you are an adult, I'm going to try and treat you like an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And I might not agree with the decisions people make, but are they doing something illegal? Are they doing something dangerous? Are they doing something unhealthy to one another? No. Have at it. Have a good time. More power to you. So that's like my, that's my first rant of the episode. It's been a while since I've gone on a rant. I feel more coming with this one.
Oh boy.
Because as somebody who is the younger woman and in every long-term meaningful relationship, I can no longer say successful because I divorced my husband, but in every long-term meaningful relationship I've ever had with another human being, all men, you have all been older than me. The ones where I've tried to date people my age, and one time many, many years ago when you can't even call it dating because we weren't even, neither of us could even drive.
Yeah.
Somebody younger, my age or younger.
Right.
It doesn't work for me. And I, we can go into I why know. That is. And there's, everybody's going to be different on that about why that might not work for them. And I know very clearly why it doesn't work for me. But that is, if anything is a quote type, that I don't control in the sense that I don't go looking for older men, but I am drawn to older men. I am attracted to older men. That is my thing. Like height and hair color and body type and all that stuff. And those things get real squishy once we start talking about personalities. But if I'm going to pay attention to a guy, it's going to be when I see that his age is, do I have a minimum? I don't think I have a minimum, but I'm much more interested. So I'm in my late 30s now. I'm much more interested once you're in your mid 40s. But if you're only in your 40s, I'm going to expect you have your shit together. Like,
well, yeah.
So if you're 40s and you're still, and you remind me of my ex-husband who's in his 40s, then no, it, the age is irrelevant.
Now, but, you know, on that note, I'm going to say I find it funny because you always talk in a lot of our past episodes about how hard I worked to have a relationship with you, right? So what's funny is that in your own way, you worked a little bit too. Because if you remember, when I found out how old you were.
I do remember this. Yeah.
Okay. I was like,
we can't
go down this road.
I almost got rejected for being too young.
Yes.
Wait, you can't reject me. I'm going to reject you.
Yeah, so, you know, you kind of put your own effort into, you know, what we have as well. Because when you know, I was like, you know, no, we can only be friends.
You could be my kid. And frankly, when there's a big age difference, if you start going down that road and doing the math of when you could have procreated with somebody to have this other person, it does get a little like just don't go there. And if you can't stop yourself from going there, it maybe this isn't the situation for you. Now, there's a lot to unpack in age differences because. Yeah. There is how the world tends to see it. And these are stereotypes, so not everybody sees it this way.
True.
There's how it affects our personal relationship. And then there's the fact that there's no, in my way, no real way to classify this because everybody comes at this from different angles. So let's start with some basics that I think should be, we should all just accept these things as fact. Sort of like don't yuck on my yum and what True. My rant earlier, okay? Mm-hmm. So certain things that don't get said, but need to be said. And we need to talk about these things and we need to normalize them. So one of those things is that in a DS relationship where the dominant is a guy in whatever way that means, and the submissive is female in whatever way that means. And I'm not, doesn't have to be cisgender, be transgender, however you identify. One of you is male, one of you is female. Mm-hmm. If that's your dynamic, there's no requirement that the dominant be the older one.
True.
That might feel like the stereotype. That might feel like what you see. And God knows it's often what we see in things like erotica and fantasy. I totally get that. No. Just like in any power exchange, you can be any gender. You can be any sexuality. You can be any age. And sometimes your submissive will be older. And sometimes you'll be the same age. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you'll both be of advanced years. I don't even know what that qualifies anymore. To me, that's like 80, okay? Like, the closer I get to 40 and 50, the more I'm pushing back what old means. Oh, like, it's getting way out there. I'll be 80 and go, oh, no, I'm not old. That's 100-year-old.
When I was in my 20s, I had that whole Timothy Leary perspective. Don't trust anyone over 30.
Oh, please don't.
Oh, God, that's
we
so
had
far
that
off
conversation. Yeah. I'm not going to annoy any of our younger listeners again by saying what I said last time about that. But so that I know that there are submissives who say to themselves, I can't be submissive to that person. They're younger than me. Or they worry that their dominant is going to be upset that they're older. Mm-hmm. Or it's, quote, wrong or weird or whatever if a 20-year-old is a daddy or a master or a mistress. Now, we can have a conversation about maturity level and how you identify, and that
true
is a whole other conversation. But age, there's a lot that goes into age, and there are things that you have no freaking clue about at 20 that you won't might not figure out till you're 50. That's called life. There's maturation process, and some people I've met in their 50s and 60s are still not mature.
No.
I was one of the most mature 20-year-olds I knew, mostly because I was keeping a roof over two grown people's heads at age 20. And yet, I look back at 20 and go, oh, Lord, I didn't know anything at 20 based on what I know at 38. So, you know, what you choose to call yourself, what your power dynamic is, yes, there are always going to be people who are going to look at your age and they're going to curl their nose up and go, eh, you're too old, you're too young, you're too this, you're too that. Yeah, that exists. And there's not much we can do about those people other than to attempt to educate them. But ultimately, you got to do what's right for you. And as long as your dynamic is consensual and legal, it doesn't fucking matter.
That's really all that matters. Let me ask you this. As the submissive, as the submissive in our relationship, with me being 18 years older than you, do you feel that there is a disadvantage in our power exchange?
No, because our power exchange, I'm knocking into things, sorry y'all. Our power exchange, our relationship, our connection, our friendship, none of it is based on age, okay?
True.
It was weird in the beginning. I was drawn to you because you were older. I was also a little worried because at some point I realized that this could be a long-term thing. And I am old enough to understand that people die. Like, I don't forget that somebody can die at any moment. No. One of my biggest anxieties is of the people I love dying. It's a thing that will keep me up at night. It's fun to be an anxious person. I have brought myself to tears imagining it. And we're not having that conversation because I could start crying right now. But at the time when I was still a little bit removed from it, where we were connected, but we were not as close as we are now, I had that thought of, oh my God, he's nearly 20 years older than me. What happens when I'm 60? What happens when I'm 70? Like, I was already thinking long term.
Yes.
and I had just come out of a heartbreak when you and I met. Mm-hmm. So the idea that even though it was hypothetical and it was 20, 30 years in the future, the fact that I could lose you in that way, even though that's a possibility every moment of every day,
relationship. That's something that could happen at any time. A car accident.
You can't walk out of your house without being in potential danger.
Right.
But it was too hard. So what I did was started investigating.
Yes.
And
yes.
I don't.
Yes, you did.
I wanted to believe I was subtle. I'm sure I was not. Because the questions I asked became, oh, so are your parents still alive?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're still alive. Oh, how old are they? Because I'm like, okay, did they have you crazy young and they're really only like 60? Like, how old are your parents, right? Oh, they're in their 70s. My grandmother lived to be 90-something, and that's when I went,
95.
We've got a winner. He'll make it. It's fine. Considering
I felt like a horse that was having his
checking
teeth
his
checked,
teeth,
you know?
Okay. So it's not, you know, I am a little leery, or sort of like, I'll give you a little bit of side eye if you are significantly older or younger and you try to tell me that you have never once thought of the age difference. Really?
Yeah.
Because I think about it in the way that I think about the fact that you have blue eyes and you have curly brown hair. It's a factor. It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing that exists. It's a reality. Is it something that I'm worried about? No. Other than when my own anxieties kick me in the butt. Is it something that I either think of as some thing that makes us somehow special? It's not. Is it a detriment to our relationship? It's not.
No.
In the beginning, just like you were worried about me being really young and potentially immature, and of course I had kids, and you've mm-hmm. already gone through that kind of phase in your life. I could see that. I was having the same thoughts in the opposite direction of, whoa. And here's what I'll say, and this, I'll go ahead and confess, because it's already happened. We're 20 minutes in. This is going to be all over the place. I got notes. Whatever. They're out the frickin' window.
Surprise, surprise.
So the thing I find fascinating is that mm-hmm. we were at opposite ends of the spectrum, thinking about the same thing from different ends, which I think is more normal than we realize. And two, the more I got to know you as the guy who's 18 years older than me, mm-hmm. the more my perception of what aging means. So I already have, and it's something we've talked about before, my mother is a year older than you. That's because she had me when she was 19, which is relatively young. But she had already changed to me what it means to be, quote, old. So she's nearly 60 at this point, and there's nothing about her that says 60 to me. And I don't know if that's her or because what it means to be 60 has changed since even when I was a kid and my grandmother was 60-something. Yeah. So the longer I know you, I often have to remind myself that you are 57, you know.
Yeah.
Did I get the number right?
Yes.
Okay, yay.
Yes.
I have to remind myself because whatever I used to think that that number represented mm-hmm. and what life was like for somebody who's 57, this does not match that stereotype that I had in my head.
And, you know, myself, from my own perspective, as far as my age goes, I have to say that I, you know, when I was younger, when I was in my 30s, I would think, you know, oh my God, what am I going to be like when I'm in my 50s? You know, heading into my 60s, my life is going to be over.
God, I hope not.
And now I've reached a stage where, you know, I'm in my upper 50s and 60 is on the horizon.
And I'm making you start a whole new career. Fun times.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Here I thought I was going to be kicking back with my feet up, drinking coffee and reading all day.
That sounds a lot like your life now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I've reached a point in my life where I don't think about the number.
No.
As much, you know. No. The number doesn't matter.
The number...
It's how I feel, how I perceive things.
Right. And I think that, so are there people out there who specifically go looking for people who are drastically older or drastically younger than them? Of course there are.
Yeah.
Just like you go looking for a redhead or you go looking for somebody mm-hmm. with big boobs or big butt or big dick or whatever your thing is. Does that exist? Of course it exists. I think that those of us who have found solid, healthy relationships, either because of the age difference, we went looking for that, or mm-hmm. in spite of it, where we had misgivings and other factors played in. When you're in that solid relationship that is based on a million other factors and age is just a detail, mm-hmm. it doesn't play a big role. Now, there are times when I find ways to joke about it. And then there are times when our age difference is something I do think about, and then there are times when I have to remind you think about it, and I remind you that I wasn't raised like most other people. So let me back up a little bit. In my household, there was me, my mother was 19 years older than me, my father was 19 years older than my mother, which meant he was 38 years older than me. We had three distinct generations in one house. I'm also an only child. So I'm also the only grandchild. I had no cousins. There were no kids in the family. There was me. So one that was great for being spoiled. I can't imagine where I might have become a baby girl from that one.
Not a clue.
Not a clue. But it also meant that I spent the vast majority of my most formative years around adults. And so when I got to school, I still to this day don't know how to relate to people my own age. It is better now that people my own age, that means like mid to late 30s, because okay, the life experience part now makes more sense. We can all kind of commiserate. But as a kid, I could not relate to kids my own age. They were talking about things that made no sense to me. In my house, we were talking about literature. We were talking about politics. We were talking about what was on the news. My dad might give me 2 hours on a Saturday for Saturday morning cartoons, but then he took the remote control back and we were watching other stuff, right? So my experience as a kid was not like a lot of people that I knew. So my maturity level was a little bit different. The way I related to the world was a little bit different. And that served me well. I was considered more mature than most of my peers. I cared more about school and my education than most other things. So I was a fun person. But it also meant that because I didn't relate, and there were a lot of other factors. We were like in poverty. We were poor, poor, poor. So some of the capitalistic sort of tangible things from my childhood, having a certain type of shoe, wearing a certain brand, I didn't have that experience either.
Didn't exist. Yeah, okay.
We had books because we had a library, because if you could get your ass to the library, you could check out as many books as you could hold. So that was my experience. So I'm just up and certainly through college, I didn't relate to people my own age. And I always related better to people who are older than me. My two best friends on the planet, one of whom died in 2017, are both my mother's age. They are my dearest friends. Those are people I relate to. Does that mean I don't have friends my own age or younger? Of course not. Of course I do. But on that deep visceral level, I relate to people better than older than me. I relate better to people who are older than me. I will spit that out. So the moment I told my mom that John Brownstone, of course, I don't call him John Brownstone to her, was 18 years older than me, I thought I was going to get hell. And she went, well, of course he is. To you, that's normal. And she's right. To me, that's normal. Yeah. I also have cultural references that my peers my age don't always have, because I watched old PBS episodes of 60s Who, Doctor Who. Okay. I didn't like it. But I watched it. We watched The Twilight Zone. My parents were talking about, I was listening to my parents' music. My dad's theory was, I drive, I control the radio. And he listened to the oldies station. And so I knew music from the 50s and 60s, and in my mother's case, the 70s, better than I knew music from the 80s and 90s of my own childhood. Like, I still to this day will get chills if I hear, like, not just Elvis and the Beatles, but some, like, really obscure stuff that people my own age go, who is that? So all of that to be said, meeting John Brownstone and having this age difference, this means nothing to me. The cult, he'll make a reference and go, oh, you don't know what that means. And I'll shoot it right back at him. I know what the show is. I know what the song was. I know what year it came out. I know all the details. And he looks at me and I'm like, I didn't have a normal childhood. My childhood is not like everybody. So part of me didn't necessarily want to tackle the conversation about age differences other than to normalize it and say it's okay. Now, it's because I know not everybody was brought up like me, and not everybody has this relationship with age differences.
It's not something that's for everybody.
No.
While you were checking out my genealogy.
And checking your teeth, yeah.
And checking my teeth. One of the things I learned about you over time was that you were much mature.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And that kind of eased my mind with that. And I have to say, when we were first together, when we were early, that we were after we had first met, I noticed a lot in the beginning that, you know, sometimes when we were out, if we were in the mall, if we were shopping or, you know, just somewhere in general, we would get side-eye from people.
We still get side-eye from people.
And I used to notice it a lot more back then and pick up on it. Nowadays, I could give a flying you-know-what.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't even notice it if it happens anymore.
I still notice it now. I care even less. Mm-hmm. But I will admit, there are a lot of reasons I don't call you daddy in public.
Yeah.
There are many reasons, and I think each reason is valid. But one of them that I don't really talk about is because we've gotten the side eye and there is such an age difference. And I don't think I look overly young. I don't know what 38 looks like, but if you don't know either, guess what? This is what 38 looks like. especially when I know we're getting the side eye, I think that's the moment I think, oh, I'm so glad I don't call him daddy out loud, because this is what people would do. They would hear me call you daddy. They would assume I mean you're my father. Mm-hmm. They would feel comforted that they've now explained to themselves what this relationship is.
Yes.
Clearly you're old enough to be my father. No, that's not clear at all, but that's what they're thinking. And so then they would be able to walk away with a nice little story of thinking that we're, you know, related in that way because I called you daddy. And it's like, no, I don't ever want that title with you to be mistaken for that by anybody. Okay. And I know it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what other people think.
Right.
But that's personal to me, and that means something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather get the side eye and somebody go, why is she with somebody so much older? Why is he with somebody so much younger? And have them just think, ugh, than to incorrectly confirm something for them. I don't want that either. Yeah. That's very convoluted and it doesn't make any sense. And in 6 months from now, I could change my damn mind and really not care. But that's just a thing for me. So there are so many stereotypes that go in with age differences. So
yeah,
there's the stereotype that the younger partner doesn't feel like they can find somebody mature enough at their own age, or that the person who's older is going to have all this experience. That does tend to, for those of us I have found that have really successful, solid relationships with somebody who's significantly older than us, that does tend to be the case. We did come across somebody who was at a maturity level that we wanted, but I've met a lot of older people who are dating younger people who like to date the younger person because it makes them feel young again. So there's also that stereotype that the older person is trying to recapture part of their youth. I have absolutely, will admit, made the statement that I didn't like guys my own age or younger because they weren't mature enough, but I also married the asshole who was older than me and still wasn't mature enough. So age is not an indicator of maturity.
Right. No. Age is not an indicator of that at all.
So what I would say to the person who's out there specifically looking for an older person is you cannot assume that because of their age, they're more mature than you. Just like you cannot assume that because somebody is your age or younger, that they are less mature than you. It is about the person. And it's one of those things where I would say, you know, for me, I didn't go out there going, I'm only going to go look for older guys to date or be with. It was one of those things that I wanted to connect with somebody on a human level. And then knowing you were older than me on one level made me go, okay, that's comforting. And then, of course, it made me freak out a little bit.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a thing that, like, it's on a checklist of, okay, you have to have these traits. Like, and it's been a long time since we talked about this, but when I was finally open to maybe even having a conversation with somebody, I knew they had to be dominant. Like that, they had to already have figured that out about themselves. That I did decide. But I never said that they had to be a dominant who was at a certain age range. It was they had to be dominant. The fact that the first real dominant I connected with on a good level happened to be 18 years older than me made sense. You know, some people I think will say, well, there's something, you know, subliminal about it, and that's why you connected, because there's this age difference. And I don't know all of that. Okay. I know what my experience from my whole life has been. And I know that it certainly was, once I confirmed that you would live past the age of 65, almost nobody in my family lives past the age of 65. So you could see where that would be a concern of mine. So once I could confirm that you had the ability to live to a ripe old age, then it was okay. It was okay again. Because see, for those of us who are drawn to people who are older than us, or who have a tendency to have relationships with people who are older than us, there is, I think, I have found now, a cycle to it. So when I was 16 and my boyfriend was 21, it was hot. It was exciting. My father was ready to call the cops. Kind of glad he didn't. I wouldn't want to be a part of that, but it's a thing. But then as I got into college, it was not that much older, but the guy who's already out of college when you're in college, that was almost look, he kind of has his life at least a little bit more together than I do. And there was that sort of thinking. He did not, but that was the thinking. And then I hit my late 30s and I'm like, oh God, significantly older means something way different now.
It's all a matter of perspective, isn't it?
Oh my gosh. And so I think that is also true. Depending on where you are in life and your own experiences, you may have noticed that, or maybe you aren't there yet to notice it. I do I will say it is kind of a turn on to know that there are things you have more experience than I do, sexual especially. Mm-hmm. It is comforting to me to know that there are things that you know about or can handle or have been through that I haven't. But I think using your age as the reasoning is a fallacy, because I think it's really about the human experience. Because there are things that we do that you go, I have no clue how this works. Baby girl, tell me what to do.
True.
That's not about age. It's about things I've done versus things you've done.
True.
And we have two different experiences. But people want to say, oh, well, you like him because he's the older, wiser man who's going to lead you, blah, 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 blah.
No,
well,
I from day one of our relationship, one thing I will have to say, I see you as an equal.
And I think that's what makes the difference.
I see you as my equal, not that 18 years difference gives me superiority over you.
And the problem, I think, is that the people who aren't in those relationships, that's what part of what they think. It's one of the multitude of things that they might think. And then there are the people who, like the older guy who goes looking for a younger partner, because that's what they assume.
Yeah.
Are there those people who go out and say, I'm going to look for somebody significantly younger than me because they're not going to know as much. They're going to be more innocent. Yes, those people are called predators. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they're going to prey on, they're going to pick a characteristic and prey on that. Those people exist. And we do have to be careful of them. And that does exist,
unfortunately. Yes,
it does. And it does seem to be primarily straight men, but I'm sure that's not the only time it happens. It's just the most common. Some guys are shitty. But that's who's giving the rest of us a bad name and having people look at the dynamic and make some assumptions. Mm-hmm. And I think most of us who are in the dynamic are like, no, yeah, age is one thing, but it's not necessarily the only thing. If you go out looking for somebody significantly older, significantly younger, because it's, you consider that your type, there's nothing inherently wrong with it. You're not an awful person because you like to be with younger people or you like to be with older people. I do think that when we narrow down our types to very singular traits like that, that we miss a lot of opportunities to meet people. Mm-hmm. I mean, because you can do that with any trait. You can say, I'm only going to date people who are this height or taller or this height or shorter or this weight or...
That was something that was very funny to me early on with you, is because I basically broke the mold of everything that you thought you wanted in another person.
Yes, you did. Okay. And in a delightful way.
Well.
Because, I mean, if somebody had asked me, what's your ideal age difference? I always would have said older, because I'd only ever had mostly positive experiences with older guys. I would never have said 18 years, because at the time I would have been doing the math like I did when we met. Of, oh my God. You know, almost nobody in my family, we have one family member who lived to about 81, but nearly everybody else, mid-60s, gone. For different reasons. And so that's our goal in our family now, from my mother's generation and younger, is to get past 65. That's what we're going for.
So I see what you did now.
So I was nervous. You were too close to 65.
You worked it out so that I have potential for a longer life. And by the time you reach that age of 65 or 70, it evens out and we're going to go together.
Well, I did say we were going together.
Yeah, right.
Didn't want to go all morbid like that, because I wouldn't live very long, but sure, we'll go with that. And I could live with that. If I'm 65 and you're 80, what? That makes you 83? That's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I'm good with that. God, that's morbid. I don't want to talk about that. Yeah, I don't want to talk about that at all.
Losing my hair.
Really? Really? Are you guys singing the Beatles now? So here are the funny things. We do joke about our age difference. He will throw a reference out there that I know is like way before my time. And sometimes I'll recognize it and I'll kind of pretend like I don't. Or whether I recognize it or not, I recognize when it's way before my time. Yeah. I'm like, nope, before my time. Don't know anything about it. Nope. Your age is showing there. So we do make jokes about it. We don't pretend like it doesn't exist. And I really think that most healthy relationships, that's exactly it. It is one characteristic among many. And
true.
If if it becomes important or if it becomes a factor, then you deal with it. And if it's not, then it's no big deal. Now, specific to DS, because we said at the top, you know, the stereotype might be older, wiser, dominant, with younger, innocent, submissive, blah, 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 bullshit. There is, and I did not even think about this until we saw the thing that DomSign tweeted, and we're recording on Thursday, so he tweeted it on Thursday, is that there might be, some people might have this idea that if you were the older person in their relationship, that there's somehow a power imbalance. And this is, I think, a little bit of a sticky conversation because power imbalances happen. Power imbalances happen for all kinds of reasons. And I think it depends on the people's perception that are involved in the dynamic. So just because you, the outside random observer who knows none of the details of what's going on, see an age difference, you cannot assume there's a power imbalance. Is it possible? Sure, it could be. But you don't know the details of those people. Like, yeah, you see an 18-year power age difference and you think, oh, he's clearly the dominant and he knows more and he takes charge and he takes care of her and she's young and knows less. And y'all, I'm nearly 40. Please don't ever think that somebody who's nearly 40 doesn't know anything. And there are plenty of times where I'm the one teaching and I'm the one guiding and I'm the one leading because that's the nature of relationships. So can a power balance imbalance exist? Whether you have a power exchange or not, of course it can. But I think that that's a really tricky stereotype.
Yeah. See, yeah, because my take on it, the way our relationship works, okay, you possess strengths that I don't have. Okay? Just like I have strengths that you don't have.
Right.
And all right. So there are times I will come to you and be like, baby girl, I need your input on this. I need to pick your brain.
Right.
Okay. And because I know that that is your area of expertise, I weigh more heavily on the information I get from you before I make my decision.
And see, the thing is that sometimes I know something because I am younger. Because I went through a thing you didn't go through. But sometimes I just know a thing because that's a thing I care about knowing.
True.
So I get frustrated when people try to boil everything down to an age difference. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're doing this because you're older. You're doing this because you're younger. You know, those things exist, but they don't exist in a vacuum. None of this exists in a vacuum. You know, would our relationship be essentially the same if I was 10 or 15 or 18 years older than I am? To a certain extent, I would have more life experience. I'd have more things to draw upon, but we would still laugh and joke about certain things. We would still rely on each other for certain things. Those things would still exist because that's fundamentally who we are, not the fact that I'm like really like way younger than you. I don't always... See, it's funny. So to me, and we said this at the top, whatever 57 is, in my mind, you are not it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you are legally, technically 57 years old. But whatever picture I drew in my head of what that looked
what that was?
You don't fit whatever that is. Okay. And so, but at the same time, I'm not quite sure what 38, almost 39 is supposed to look like. And I sometimes will go, God, wasn't I just 21 yesterday? And obviously that's true.
Yeah.
And I think that is something we all do.
We all do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think about that too, you know, especially at this point in my life. You know, I still have the drive and energy to do things I did 20, 30 years ago, but the body is not always willing.
But the mind knows better than 20 or 30 years ago too.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So it is a complicated thing because some people say, well, age is nothing but a number. And on a lot of levels, that is very true.
Right.
On some levels, a little less so because it does come down to life experience and what you've gone through. But I know some 20-year-olds who've been through fucking hell and have more life experience, so to speak, and more either trauma in their life or have gone through hard things.
Than some people experienced in an entire lifetime.
Right. Than some people who are 60 can't even imagine. So.
Right.
Ultimately, it all comes down to we are all different. We all look at these things differently. We all handle these things differently.
Right.
If you are in a relationship where there's a big age difference, cool. Yeah. And if you are not, cool.
With our relationship at this point, in the time that we've been together, I don't even think about the age difference anymore.
No, it's not. It's not something that's in my head all the time.
No, I don't even.
It comes up when I see an opportunity to crack a joke, because it is a fact. It's just not a fact I'm constantly thinking about. It's like if I walked around going, "You have brown hair, you have brown eyes." Well, no, nobody thinks about that. Right. So who the hell's walking around going, "I am 18 years younger"? That shit. No, the fuck, no. I'm not. I'm thinking about our relationship. I'm thinking about what we want to be doing now. Anxious brain being what it is.
Okay, here we go.
The middle of the night make myself like weep. Because I've got the what if going in my head. I do have those thoughts. I'm not going to pretend. I have had the thoughts of, oh my gosh, what if he gets sick? What if he dies? What if? And I have, usually you're snoring, but what I do is I latch on and I hold on and I cry right into your back. You're usually still snoring. and it's terrifying. It is terrifying to me because of the attachment, of the fact that of how much I love you, of the fact that I do want us to be together for the most amount of time humanly possible. What I do, though, to give myself a reality check is I think, Kayla, you could get sick. You could get into a car accident. You could get hurt. These things could happen to you. And if I think there's a lot of upsides and good things that happen when you spend a lot of time with people who are older than you. I think I've benefited from that. I don't do well. I still am confused by people younger than me. That's not a slight to people who are younger than me, because I know a lot of people. I can think of off the top of my head multiple people I really love who are younger than me.
It's just how the inner workings of her brain
are. But I don't know what the right thing is to say. I don't know how I'm supposed to act. I don't know what a joke is. My whole life I've been making references that people my age and younger didn't understand. It's just, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. But... that is how I do better with people who are older than me. And because of that, though, because I've spent most of my life with people who are older than me, I've seen a lot more death than some other people my age might have. Now, that's not necessarily true now, especially now that I'm in my late 30s. A lot of people have seen, and, you know, grandparents have died, but I've had those moments where a close friend died from something that... and I hate to say it that way, because obviously at any age you can experience a death, and people do. I know we have listeners out there who are like, I was young when I experienced death. Well, guess what? I was 22 when my father died, and I was sitting right there. So even at 22, I was understanding how easy it is for people to die. So I'm not saying that this is an older person thing, that because I'm 30 I understand this. What I'm saying is, because I've spent my whole life surrounded primarily by older people, from the time I was 16, which is when I experienced the first death in my life, up through now, it is something I'm more consciously aware of than I have found that people my own age tend to be consciously aware of. That is not to make some sort of statement like I'm superior because of, or that I have lived something that other people haven't. That's not what I'm trying to say at all. But death has been something that I know can happen on a different level than it. Going back to college my senior year, it was like I had the plague. Nobody wanted to be around me. They didn't know what to say. They didn't know how to treat me. I had seen death, and that was weird to the vast majority of my fellow college students. And that's been my experience. So I can very easily go, oh my gosh, he's close to 60. What happens when he dies? And that's a very real thing to me. That's not I've never experienced it. I don't know what this is like. It's I know exactly what this is like, and this is going to fucking suck. So those are things that do enter my mind, but I can't live my life where I have learned, it took me a while, I've learned that I cannot live my life going through those what ifs. And I know people who would reject an older partner for that very reason. Yeah. That's a decision only you can make as an individual.
True. I mean, it's something that's it's a personal decision, and I think you have to sometimes, I mean, overlook the age, and I'm not saying, you know, if someone's not of legal age, you need to be of legal age.
Right.
You need to be consenting. But, you know, it's something you need to like anything else in any relationship. You need to talk about it.
Right. I think pretending that it doesn't matter is ridiculous.
Right.
Because it's a part of you. I've been equating it with hair color and eye color, but when it's a significant difference, it might not be a problem for the two of you, but you might have to have a game plan of what you're going to do if a family member has a problem with it.
Yeah.
Now, your game plan might be to tell them to go fuck themselves and live your own life. That's fine.
Right.
But as somebody who likes to be prepared for anything, knowing what we know now, yeah, having a conversation about, okay, what are we going to do if my mom hates this? How are mm-hmm. we? How do we want to handle this? Or just talking about it realistically.
That was a very big concern of mine when I first met your family.
Mm-hmm.
That had me a little off guard, not knowing what to expect. And when I did meet them, and it came down to the fact that what really mattered to them was how I was going to treat her and how good I was to the boys.
Yeah. My mother could give two shits how old you are or how much older you are than me. She's like, how are you handling my grandbabies? Because they are precious. More precious than my child, my only begotten child. And, you know, it's funny. So we do have, I always crack up at birthdays and Christmases, but mostly birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
And Father's Day, because they always remember Father's Day for you too.
Yeah.
Because the cards come in, right? And you have to understand, he is 1 year younger than my mother. He's 2 years older than my aunt.
No.
And they send him cards that say son-in-law, that say nephew.
Yeah.
And here's what's funny about that. Maybe it's only funny to us. Maybe nobody else will think this is funny. Yeah, technically those are his titles. But because mm-hmm. the thinking is that under most circumstances, he would be closer to my age. Those titles seem appropriate. They're hilarious to me because I'm like, son? Yeah, in-law. That's the wrong word. She would have been one. And nephew cracks me up because here's the other funny thing about nephew. So my aunt is the great aunt to the boys, but we just say aunt. Great aunt just seems weird mm-hmm. to us. And she sends them nephew cards too. So the 13-year-old gets the nephew card. That makes total sense. And so does the 57-year-old. And that is freaking hilarious to me. And maybe that wouldn't be funny to anybody else, but that is funny to me. I'm not sure that we've been helpful in this discussion about age differences. I feel like if you get nothing else from this, the stereotypes that you think are true, whether in support of or against age differences, are pretty much bullshit. Yeah, you'll find people out there who fit that stereotype. That's why stereotypes mm-hmm. exist. But I think in most healthy, solid, stable DS relationships, it's just another part of who the two people are.
Right.
And I think it's only a problem when you allow it to become a problem. So yeah, if there had been a vast maturity, God, y'all, I can't talk today. A vast maturity difference between us, that might have been a problem.
Yeah.
But to assume that it would have been because I was younger, that I was less mature, is pretty problematic too. Because I have certainly known people, but mostly men, sorry y'all, who are way older than me, that are way less mature than me, and I wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole. Because it's a maturity thing. And if...
Well, I've known people all my life that are older than me at some point, and
I wouldn't let
them
babysit my goldfish.
Mm-mm.
I mean, good God.
No.
But I've also known people who are younger than me that are just old souls and have seen so much and had to grow up way too fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's about maturity level for you, I guess you could start with age, but you don't have to.
No.
I'm personally not comfortable with age difference as some sort of factor in the decision-making process outside of a specific fetish that both people consent to. So if you have a fetish that all of your partners are 20 years older than you and you're getting off on that, that's cool. Does your partner know? And is your partner comfortable with being fetishized? That's a whole other conversation to have. And I think it's worth having a conversation about. But if we're just talking about, none of what we do is run of the mill. So a run of the mill DS relationship, your more typical DS relationship in that you're trying to build something long-term and solid and stable. It's, I think if you talk to most of us, and I know several people, they're going to be like, we don't think about it near as much as those of you on the outside mm-hmm. seem to be thinking about it. Like, the people who have said something to me, it's been like, I'm like, you're thinking about this way more than I'm thinking about this.
Yeah.
It's just another thing about us. It's right. just another number about us. And could we drill down deep onto maturity and life experience? Of course we could. But that's very specific to us together as two people interacting. Sure. You cannot then extrapolate that out and say that mm-mm. all DS couples who have this type of age variance do these things. That is in no way no. true. And that's why next time I'd be careful about what I tell y'all. That could be a whole episode because clearly it can be. Can I talk about it for an hour? Yeah, I can. But are we saying anything useful or helpful? I don't know.
I mean, we just kind of, rambled on about our our
own. Kind of rambled on.
Our own perspective of
as
of,
always.
You know, yeah.
I think if I come across as sort of flippant or annoyed or short, it is because I recognize that it's a thing I like. And I also now recognize at my age and with mm-hmm. what I've done in life that it's not as important as I think yeah. it used to be to me.
Okay.
When you're 16 and you're dating the 21-year-old, it's important. No, it's a thing. Yeah, that was part of the hot factor. I totally understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if my kid came home and said his partner, he was 16, his partner was 21, I would probably have the same reaction my father had. And that's the other thing I kind of want to make sure we say. We have talked about this in a very heteronormative way.
Mm-hmm.
And there are dynamics in other relationships that may come down to age that maybe we don't understand. The stereotype is the older, especially in DS, is the older man, younger woman.
Mm-hmm.
That is just a stereotype. Like we said at the beginning, you can be any type of DS relationship, any type of gender, any type of sexuality. And you can identify in any way you want, and you can right. be any age you want, and you can make it work. There's no one right way.
True.
There is no the only way mm-hmm. bullshit.
We talk about what we right. did today because it's from our perspective and what we experienced.
Right. And I recognize that we are what some people would incorrectly label as quote normal under in this circumstance because of those stereotypes. And there is no normal, and there is no, this is how all people do it. And I can't speak to other dynamics that have an age discrepancy. And if there are other ways that other people look at that in other communities, then I would love to know about that perspective.
Yeah.
I know this stereotype because I'm accidentally living it. And the people we talk to tend to be male submissive, male dominant, female submissive, older man, younger woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there's an entire probably other dynamic about older women and younger men. I don't have a problem with that. Maybe when I'm older, I'll maybe when my checking your teeth didn't work. like I'm buying a horse. That's just awful. That's just awful. Maybe there might, is it conceivable I might one day be interested in younger men? Maybe. I mean, anything's possible. Never thought I'd fantasize about women in yoga pants and leggings or whatever in their butts either. I mean, you cannot possibly know what will right. happen 10, 15, 20 years down the line.
True.
I would love to hear more from older women and younger men, or older women and younger people, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, the different ways that it can, the different variances and the different ways yeah. that it can be.
I mean, there are a lot of different possibilities.
Right. And I think that's ultimately mm-hmm. the thing that if you walk away with anything, to us, this is normal and we don't see anything weird about it. And two, it works in a multitude of ways.
I mean, I believe, but you know, again, we're coming from our experience with this. Don't let your age define you.
No, I think that's true too. I think it's true. It does get problematic with people who fetishize it.
True.
And when I say problematic, I mean problematic to try and discuss, because I'm not discussing it as a fetish. I'm discussing it as an aspect of who we are.
Right.
So, yeah, there's that. I'm not sure we've done anything useful in today's episode. I feel like we've just rambled for an hour. But if you do have a perspective on this, either as somebody who doesn't like age differences, or you have a different experience of age difference, or you have a different reason, or you have a specific reason why you care one way or the other about age differences, feel free to reach out and let us know. We're happy to take in more information and learn new things.
We're always interested to see what other people think and their perspectives as well.
Exactly. We are just one DS couple with one DS life, living it in the way that works best for us.
Yeah.
That's all we can really do. So. All
right.
Okay. I think that's it. We do have a bonus section.
Yes.
So if you want to stick around for that, great. If not, well then, we totally understand.
Thank you for being here with us.
I know.
For this.
I know. Hopefully, if we weren't helpful, we were at least entertaining.
Or gave you something to think about.
Or gave you something to laugh about.
Or, yeah, that too.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Laugh with me, not at me.
True.
Sometimes laugh at me, but mostly laugh with me. Yeah, that's good.
Good.
Vaguely.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's wrap it up, baby girl.
I guess that.
All right.
Okay. Keep it kinky, y'all. And we'll see you next week. Okay, Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
There's cameras on me.
There is a camera on you?
I can't be quiet like I usually am.
I know. I've been noticing that since we started doing this.
Because it would be weird just to have the camera like on me.
Really?
And not say anything and ignore it like it's not there. Are you smiling at the camera?
Yes, I am.
So if you are a podcast listener, I would encourage you when this comes out on YouTube, don't watch the whole thing. You've already listened to the whole thing.
Right.
Scoot forward to an hour and 5 minutes in, and he's got this little devil grin that is freaking hilarious. Hilarious.
I'm glad you think so. Anyway, yes. Go ahead, baby girl.
So we did get mail. I will remember that.
Yes.
First this time.
Yes.
We got actually a couple things, and we're recording on Thursday. I have not shared the picture to
Instagram. To Instagram. At the handle you hate.
At the handle I hate. but we also got some sex toys in that we'll probably do a video about. And one of which is a pair of panties I have coveted from every store that sells them. And finally somebody had them on their site and said, oh, if you want to review some stuff, pick two or three items and I'll send them to you. And I said, okay. And, one of those items is Yes Daddy panties. If these things do not fit my ass, I'm going to cry ugly tears. So bad. I've wanted Yes Daddy panties since the first time I saw them on Instagram, because of course that's where I would see them. It's on Instagram, and I want a pair. And I've got this habit on my personal Instagram of showing my butt.
Yes,
in panties.
I was gonna say that this has become like a thing with you.
Every once in a while, I'll slip in some cleavage, but it's mostly my ass and panties.
Yeah.
So, quick story. I've got the mail in my hand. So, I got the panties and the sex toy, and I'm gonna take a picture of all of it together, plus the postcard we got, which is from a really cool person we know. But let me tell this story first, because this is fucking hilarious to me. It doesn't have to be funny to anybody else. So, the other day, you were out in the shop before I was even ready to take a shower. I'd gone for my walk, whatever. And I knew what I was wearing I needed to wear panties with, but I'd forgotten to say anything before I went out for my walk. So I come back, I'm like, oh shit, I'm gonna need panties. He says, go ahead, you can pick yourself out some panties.
Yes.
Just send me a picture of them, which is like old school for us. It's what we did when we were long distance. And that's cool. So, okay, and I was kind of excited. I haven't gotten to pick my own panties in years. So, I'm showered. I've got the towel on. I'm in the bedroom. Open up, and I've got more panties than I ever think I do. And I still don't think I have enough, but I have plenty. And I'm going, oh, no, I've already Instagrammed those.
You know, I was thinking about that, because when I finally was able to get to a point that I stopped working and I saw the panties you wore, which I liked, by the way, it was a pair that
you helped me buy.
I helped her buy, and is something that's near and dear to my heart. I was thinking to myself, how long did it take her to dig through and find and pick these out?
Well, so I pull out the first pair, and it's got hearts on it. I've Instagrammed that at least twice. And then there's the unicorn, and then there's the butterfly, and then there's the polka dot. And I'm like, I've put these on Instagram already. And then after that, like, I think I was putting something away later, and I went, mm-hmm. oh, I have some pink stripe panties. I
So the panty predicament.
The panty predicament. I know. I was like, oh. And clearly with the lewd and in some cases, like, really disturbing messages I get on Instagram and my DMs, the panties are a hit. The butt is really a hit. Yeah. Oh, my God, the amount of messages. Anyway.
I know.
Mail. So the actual, so we got a sex toy I haven't taken out of the package. Panties I haven't taken out of the package. I'm also terrified to put them on my butt because what if they don't fit? But we also got, and hopefully I can do this right for the camera. I did it right.
There you go.
This is a skill I don't have. Poor podcast listeners, I'm trying to get the postcard in the camera and the frame, and this is bad. So this is from our friend Dutch Girl, who lives in Mount Dora, Florida, which is not that far from where we live. She came to our munch in July.
Yes.
And so we got to meet her in person. Mm-hmm. And she sent us a postcard and said it was nice to meet us. And it was nice to meet her, too. I know she's listening because she listens to our show. And it was lovely to meet her. And it was. I can say this now that the meeting went well. And I think I'm sure she had this maybe on her side, too. It is always a little strange to meet people you don't know that you know from the internet. And in our case, we meet people who know us much more than we know them,
right?
Because you guys listen to the show and we clearly hold nothing back, good, bad, or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's always that moment of, oh gosh, what have we gotten ourselves into? Who are we about to meet? And she was absolutely lovely. It was a great time.
She was absolutely wonderful. I enjoyed talking with her and hanging out with her.
The munch moved from the munch location to a bar. We all went together. Mm-hmm. Of course, they had to talk me into it.
Yeah.
So, but you know, it was.
And you ended up having a good time and enjoying yourself.
And you let me drink essentially my weight and Diet Coke that day.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was wonderful.
I know.
Like, you'll do that again, mostly for the Diet Coke. The company, too, but the Diet Coke was a big selling point. So, so she sent us a postcard because she'd said she would, and then included a sweet thank you. So, Dutch Girl, we are very happy we got to meet you.
Yes.
And I'm glad I can admit that I had the fear and that the fear didn't play out anymore. Absolutely wonderful.
No.
So that
is
our...
And we've met a number of people.
We have.
And they've all been...
Yes, we've been very fortunate.
Yes.
Very fortunate.
We've met some absolutely wonderful people.
Which is what tells me that the vast majority of our listeners are absolutely wonderful people.
Yes.
Because, you would think just based on odds alone and numbers, eventually you'd meet some, like, creeper. But it's been fine.
We've met some absolutely fabulous people. Yeah.
I know. So, that's been good.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have that much to... Like, I've just been working and you've just been working.
I've just been working. I mean, you know, you were talking to me the other day when you were leaving. Yeah, I've been out in the shop. It's August in Florida now.
Oh, yes, it is.
And the heat has just been... bloody hell hot.
Yeah.
To say it. I've kind of adopted that word from when we went to the UK.
Take him to London one time.
Yeah, I know. It's been so hot. I mean, I've been trying to get out in the shop by 7:30 in the morning, and usually by 9, 10 o'clock, I'm pretty well.
Yeah.
Just.
But we're at that part of summer where it gets worse earlier than even that. But you've been a trooper. We've got butt plugs on the store. We've got you've got more paddles ready to go into stock, so we can sell some more of those. I've been very pleased.
I've got wood sitting over here that I picked up and
For a special thing that will come out probably in September. Do you think?
Probably by September. Did you share that picture on Patreon?
On Patreon, yes. We've had a couple things go out on Patreon that are for patrons only.
And true.
If you would like to look at that, you just join us for as low as $1 a month.
Mm-hmm. So, I've been doing that and, working with you with as much as I could with the redesign on the shop.
I know, and I'm glad that's over. That's that's one more thing that's done.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's mostly just, it's been work, but, and... Yeah, we'll talk about it next week, because next week will be the weekend before I go. We are not taking a break this month, the month of August, because we've got the giveaway. We don't want to lose a week on that. We've got a sponsor. We don't want to lose a week on that. But I am going out of town with my aunt, who is paying for me to go with her to Oregon.
Yeah.
And so that's coming up, too. And it's funny. So, I think we talked about this last week. Well, yeah, we were going out of town to try and figure out where we wanted to live. I lied. I had something to talk about. Where we wanted to go live.
Where we wanted to land eventually, yes.
Yeah, when we move next year. And we have figured it out.
Right.
And it is near my aunt and uncle. And they're very excited that we're moving closer. And my aunt says, oh, this is going to be wonderful. We can go do this and we can go do that. And I say, whoa. We've never spent more than about a day or two together, especially as with me as an adult. As a kid, yeah, you know, a week or so doing family stuff, but never more than like a day, maybe 2 days. And so we're about to spend 5 days together in a hotel room, sharing a room, being in each other's space. This is when we'll discover how well we do. When we spend a lot of time together.
Yes.
And she laughed. And agreed and said that I was right. So I think maybe in another episode we'll talk more about what we decided because we rambled. I feel like this episode was just a huge ramble.
Maybe it was. But overall, the trip went well.
Yeah, it was a good trip.
It was a good trip. We did a lot in those two and a half days.
A lot of driving.
A lot of driving.
I was very tired to get out. I mean, very happy to get out of the car.
Yes.
When we were done.
Yes. Friday when we drove up, we took the long way around.
Oh, my gosh. We drove for essentially 4 or 5 hours.
What was essentially a two and a half hour trip. Turned out to be an all-day trip because of the route we took, because of the areas we wanted to see. And it was a pleasant overall drive. And then later when we were with her aunt and uncle, and they then chauffeured us basically around.
Well, that was 4 hours in the car.
And that was another 4 hours in the car.
And then the next day we did more of it for about an hour and a half.
Hour and a half, 2 hours. So, yeah, we took a lot in, but... It really helped to settle us on some decisions.
People have asked, because I put a couple pictures on Instagram or whatever, and you know we've talked about the move. We're staying in Florida.
Yeah.
If there's any question, we are Florida people.
Yes.
No desire to leave Florida.
No.
So we're just leaving the west coast of Florida.
Right. We're west central Florida now, and we're relocating to a different section of Florida. Eventually.
Right. Next year.
Yeah.
Definitely next year.
Mm-hmm.
We got plans.
Oh, yeah.
But we can talk about that in another episode. So I hope this episode was helpful.
I hope so.
Nothing else, you know that I really don't give a shit if somebody doesn't like the fact that I'm younger than you.
Yeah.
Like, I can give two shits. Whatever.
True.
Not my problem.
And I mean, as far as us, the age difference hasn't been detrimental to our relationship.
No. And I know that those people, that happens to people too.
Yeah.
So it's such an individualized thing.
It is.
So.
All right. Are
okay,
we good?
I think so.
Okay. Then let's let these people go on about their day or evening.
I know. Because sometimes we help with commutes and sometimes we're the thing you listen to in your lunch break. And sometimes you have to listen to us in parts.
Yep.
And I know.
True.
I know.
Okay.
We love you guys.
We love you. Thank you.
Bye.